In Poland today, the Nasdaq stock fell 15,000 points to 17, leaving two puppies to fend for themselves, and what this means for your weekend.
We interrupt this bulletin with special news flash. Large metallic tubes falling from space have crashed on Earth. It is still unclear, but scientists believe the tubes may contain...
Shalikto, do, do, doc, popular, yo, yo,
wiki,
yo, yo, wiki, wiki,
yo, yo,
wiki, yo, yo, wiki, wiki,
yo, yo, radio,
yo, yo, radio, yo, yo, radio, wiki, wiki, yo, yo, wiki, 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 yo, yo, wiki, 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 this is yo, yo, wiki, wiki, radio, podcast, podcast,
on yo, yo, radio,
wiki, 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 wiki.
Welcome to another episode of Yo-Yo Wiki Podcast. My name is Dr. Popular, hailing from San Francisco, and all the way from Minneapolis, as always, is Josh Nish from Minneapolis. Josh, how the heck are you?
I am so fantastic. I'm even more fantastic than last week, and that's very fantastic.
Why are you so fantastic? Did the house clear?
No, still waiting to hear about it. We're supposed to hear today. So it's interesting. Like, we put in an offer, and somebody else had an offer in, and the bank has to approve the offer. But instead of approving one of the two offers, they came back to both groups, me and these other people, and said, "Well, how about you pay us $5,000
more?" Wow.
And so we accepted the counteroffer. And they accepted the counteroffer, and we're supposed to hear by today, but it is 7:10 in the evening, and we haven't heard yet. So,
now, do you actually think that a bank is going to call you past 5 p.m.?
No, I don't think they would make a decision past 5 p.m.
So you're saying that they were supposed to have called you today, but it looks like you'll find out tomorrow instead.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Well, good luck. Good luck. The house has large ceilings?
No, not particularly high ceilings, unfortunately. But it does have a nice big yard.
And it has fireman poles and slides instead of stairs?
No fireman poles, but it does have slides instead of stairs.
Does it have one of those buttons where if a salesman comes and they try to sell you something, you can push a button and the...
They fall through like a trap door or something?
Yeah, like the floor mat. Like,
yeah. And the room that they fall into is terrifying.
It's called the solicitation chamber.
Stuff like that, yeah. It's scary.
I like it.
Yeah. So what do we got to talk about here today, Doc? How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay. Last night was a little rough. Heroes wasn't on.
Yeah. Now, and, it's like 7 weeks before we're going to get another episode of Heroes.
I know. The only thing that I can really look positively towards this whole thing is I haven't seen like the first 4 or 5 episodes of Heroes.
Yeah.
So at least now the DVD hopefully is on its way out. So that's the only saving grace for this thing. If it was on like, you know, another channel station, like it would be like played all the time. But since it's like on a network TV station, they pretty much just play once, and then, you know, it's not going to get.
Yeah, I don't know what they're not playing reruns in the time slot.
No, well, I mean, they didn't last night.
Okay.
But boy, that'd be cool to kind of keep my eye out for that. Beefy was saying, you know, we go on tour on the 15th, and Beefy was saying we couldn't have picked a better time TV wise to be on tour, and I thought that really was kind of a sad nerdy thing to say. like the one thing that we do that's possibly considered cool, which would be touring, and Beefy has to go, well, at least we're not missing any TV. Just shoots it all down.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Instead of watching Heroes, I watched Superman Returns.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
I was very surprised that Cyclops was in it. Because
I don't know what you mean by that.
Cyclops, the guy who plays Cyclops is the guy who plays Lois Lane's... fiance.
Oh, you know, I didn't even notice. I mean, I guess they were both very lacking in personality.
Well, yeah, and in one scene he actually puts on Cyclops' glasses accidentally and he takes them off. And
does he really?
He goes, whoops, wrong movie. No, he doesn't.
Okay. I was like, well, I could see him putting on those, like, ruby sunglasses or something like that, and then putting in some, like, really cheesy moment. But good. Okay. Well, so what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was okay. You know, I'm glad I didn't see it when it came out or anything, because I would have been terribly disappointed. But having absolutely nothing else to watch and just needing a hero fix to the trick.
All right. I really enjoyed it. I mean, a lot of people complained about it, and I understand all of their complaints and still feel like the movie entertained me. It was good looking.
It was cool looking, good production. Some of the way he floated and, you know.
That was shot on HD, on this Uber HD cam.
Yeah.
So it's the first movie shot on that particular camera. It looks beautiful, you know.
I have to say, the only things that bother me about the movie are the same things that bother me about Superman as a character in general. For instance, the fact that he doesn't really need a day job, and yet he keeps going to a day job. And supposedly, like, during his nighttime, he's off saving people. He can't help it because he's always hearing people's cries for help. So why even do the daytime thing? Like, I mean, presumably bad things don't stop, like earthquakes and things don't stop while he's at work. So it almost seems like if he is such a protector, he's being very selfish by doing the daytime thing.
All right.
And then of course the number one peeve is freaking nobody realizing that Clark Kent and Superman are the same person.
Like, right. Yeah.
That's so irritating.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's suspension of disbelief, and you just got to get over it.
Yep.
Or, I mean, if Lois is so close to him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like she's only seen Superman from a distance or anything.
Right. Yeah, I definitely see your point.
You know, Superman, you know, doesn't wear glasses. Clark Kent wears glasses. You know,
how took his glasses off, he wouldn't be able to see anything.
He wouldn't be able to see, yeah. is it now time, talking about super hearing, to talk about... Name That Yo-Yo?
Yeah, I think it is.
Name That Yo-Yo.
The podcast sensation that's sweeping the nation. Name That Yo-Yo.
Alright, I'll go first.
Okay, go for it.
I have a modified yo-yo here, sorry. It has silicone O-rings added to it.
Okay.
And I think the bearing's been cleaned too. Actually, the bearing's just been played clean. But anyway... Decided to hit my computer with it so you could get a sound of what my computer might be.
Okay. iBook.
Good. Alrighty.
Okay. Sounds like a smaller bearing. And plastic. I'm going to go with a Yomega Exodus.
No. I could see you saying that, though. Okay. No. There are many different... there are many different numbers that follow the name of these series. Not the best clue.
Phi?
No, it's a freehand.
Oh, okay.
Duncan Freehand.
Duncan Freehand. I guess I've heard of that.
In particular, this is a what is it? Mongu Freehand.
Okay.
Yay. Neat.
Okay, I'll go.
All right.
Wow, that's really quiet.
That is a weird sound.
Yeah.
And this is a stock yo-yo?
It is. Entirely stock. Those in the know would actually, I think that sound would give it away right away.
Well, it's so quiet. I'm wondering if it's a well-loomed nylon hub. So I'm thinking it might be something it's too rattly to be a fireball. But I'm thinking it is something along that lines. I could be way off, but I will say... what's another Omega? The Omega Firestorm.
It is not a Omega Firestorm. You are way off.
Oh, really? So it is ball bearings.
Yep. It was designed for off-string play. And otherwise sucks.
Probably not that good for off-string either. I would say it's either a panda or a Aquarius. With that clean bearing and that sound, I think I'll say Aquarius.
It is an Aquarius.
Okay, right on. The Aquarius was Hironori Mii's signature yo-yo. Is he on like Yo-Yo Jam now? Because he was on Duncan.
Yeah, he was on Duncan. I didn't even know this was Hironori's signature yo-yo.
Yeah, I think it has his name on there. You can check. You got it. But
yeah, not on mine.
So Hironori Mii, he was very involved with the design of that, and they went through quite a few prototypes because Hironori Mii is a very picky person. Dale Bale from Yo-Yo Jam usually likes to kind of create an entire yo-yo and then ask somebody if they want their name on it. Usually won't do too many revisions on it. It's very hard to get any revisions done. I think for instance, with Johnny's yo-yo, I don't know if Johnny really had to, force Dale to make the Hitman up to his specifications, or if they just got lucky or whatever. But Hironori Mii went through quite a few different yo-yos. The first Aquarius was actually a thin yo-yo, it was actually a Gator Jam, the John Gates yo-yo, and it just had these rubber molds on it.
Wow, I might have one of those.
Yeah, I think we all have prototypes of some sort. So I saw the pictures that you posted of the Hesitator on your site. Yeah, on shalikto.com and in your Flickr page there. So I don't know if you saw, but I kind of reposted with a link to your article and updated a lot of people on what the Hesitator was about. And if anybody's interested, they can read about that on drpopular.blogspot.com. But basically, I just went through the whole story. And you mentioned, for instance, the mess that would be on my floor whenever I was painting the yo-yos, and I have a picture of the different props being used. One of my tools that I really had to stretch to use... But one of the tools that I found worked for the purposes was the lid of a McDonald's McFlurry milkshake. That's what I used to spray paint the inside of the yo-yos without spray painting the outside.
Yeah, sort of a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Which worked out, as I remember, pretty well for you because you were addicted to McFlurries at the time.
God, I love McFlurries. McFlurries and the McWaffle sandwiches. Do you remember what those were called?
The McGriddles. Yeah, I still haven't had one of those.
Yeah, well, they're poisonous to me now. I eat McDonald's maybe once a year now, and last time, like last year, I had one, and it devastated my body for the entire day. My poo was a total different color and like everything. Like I was just so tired after like an hour after I ate it, I felt like sleepy, and it was like 9 a.m.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Did you see that that fast food movie?
Yeah. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. It's a very, very, very good documentary.
Right, that's the one where they eat White Castle for nothing but like 30 days or something like that?
For 30 days and 30 nights, they only eat White Castle. And it really strains on their relationship, too, because one of them wants Taco Bell and can't have it.
Right, because they're going to White Castle.
For 30 days and 30 nights. Yes. No, I did see Fast Food Nation.
I don't think it was called Fast Food Nation.
Supersize Me.
Supersize Me. That's what it was called. Yeah. New ice cream. Did you see that?
Yeah. Actually, the guy who directed Fast Food Nation was on Stephen Colbert's show a while ago, and the new ice cream we're talking about is the Stephen Colbert ice cream, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you tried any?
I have not. I really don't like Ben and Jerry.
On a personal level, you get nothing against their ice cream.
I think they're eco-terrorists, and that bothers me.
Really? What did they do?
Their support of various eco-groups and stuff like that. I don't agree with them. And I try not to eat their ice cream as a result of that, but, you know.
I definitely have similar things that I don't do. Certain shoes I don't buy or anything like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's a shame, though, because the Stephen Colbert, I think it's called the Freedom Ice Cream or something, is very good. It's huge goo strings of caramel, like really gooey, like strings when you pull the spoon out, kind of caramel, and vanilla ice cream with these chocolate-covered Rice Krispie chunks on them.
Okay.
So yeah, it's fried puff rice, chocolate covered, and then lots of caramel, like strands in the ice cream. It's very, very good.
All right. Neat.
Neat. So what about new Yo-Yo Wiki occurrences? Has there been anything interesting lately on there?
People are still editing away vigorously, and it's awesome just how much stuff they're adding. One thing just caught my eye, and that was for the Throwdown Luchador, which apparently is in stores now. Have you ever seen this thing, Doc?
No, but you said it's the Throwdown Luchador?
Mm-hmm.
Has Throwdown made any other yo-yos?
No, they produced some weight rings for the Duncan Freehand that just snapped in. And people liked those a lot. I never used them, but so they made those. But the Luchador is their first yo-yo.
Oui. Well, cool. And so what does it say about the Luchador on the wiki site?
Well, that it's exclusively available at Yo-Yo Nation, Extreme Spin, and Dave's Skill Toys.
Now, upon first hearing that, it doesn't sound very exclusive. It sounds like it's available at a lot of places. I mean, they really haven't left out much. But then you pointed out that they actually left out the Yo and Skill Toys, Greg's website, which are pretty big.
And Yo-Yo Guy, right.
Yeah.
Oh, the Yo and Yo-Yo Guy.
Okay, so it is on Dave's Skill Toys. It's not on Greg's Yo-Yo Guy.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's probably just a temporary thing. I don't think that it's necessarily like...
You think?
Well,
I mean, from what I understand, like, those are kind of the two of the more difficult people to work with as a small manufacturer. And, I mean, I've talked to another small manufacturer who shall remain nameless, who made his yo-yo exclusive just because he didn't want to deal with either of those two people, and he didn't want to step on their toes at the same time. So...
That's
Isn't
true.
That
they they can be very difficult to work with for different reasons. I know that that Greg always likes to get exclusive yo-yos. He always tries to get like a kind of a monopoly on a yo-yo whenever it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's usually less enthusiastic about getting the yo-yo if he can't get it that way. And in terms of Mike in Hawaii. People ran into problems with him where if somebody else got their order before he did, he would think that it was some sort of like a conspiracy or something where, you know, obviously it's just up to the postal service. So small manufacturers do sometimes have people that they like to work with. Maybe sometimes it's just because they're closer, you know, like they're in New York, so they're going to work with Yo-Yo Nation or something like that.
Right.
So I think really this post should just say, available in March 2007, excluding Yo-Yo Guy and the Yo, because that would just be a shorter list.
That's true. It would be a shorter list, but I think it would be a little bit more damning.
Is anybody else left off?
I mean, there's other stores besides those five, but I think those are the main five, right?
I mean, I don't really order yo-yos anymore. I can't think of anybody else looking at this, other than direct for the manufacturers. It could be possible that maybe Mike and Greg, you know, had the option of getting it, and they just didn't like the yo-yo or anything.
Yeah, we don't really know. Yeah, that's true.
But I just like theorizing about it, because it adds drama.
Yep. start some shit.
We could totally like kind of escape being responsible for the fallout of the drama because we can say, you know, we're just speculating.
Yeah, that's right.
Some people,
you know who else you know who else started some shit? The king of Sparta in the movie 300.
He did. He's a trash talker, dude.
Yeah.
That's what happened to the Spartans. Big mouth ruler. And in the movie 300, was Sparta what was the king's name or the leader of the Spartans?
For Sparta.
Was he portrayed as a good guy? Were all the Spartans portrayed as pretty decent people?
Yeah, it was very black and white the Spartans were portrayed as very, very good, and the Persians were portrayed as demonic and evil.
That's a darn shame. I mean, it just doesn't make for as interesting a movie, it seems.
I don't think that's the kind of movie they were trying to make.
Yeah, they were trying to make a movie with absolutes.
Yeah, with
absolute good versus absolute evil.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty movie.
It was very pretty. It was shot on HD, again, on a digital backlot, which is neat. They made it look very good. Like, I was watching the movie, and I was like, that looks right out of a comic book. That looks right out of a comic book. And I haven't read the comic book, but I can just imagine that they got these shots perfectly because it looks right out of a comic book.
Well, the Frank Miller, I think, with Sin City, like, it's exactly out of a comic book, where from what I've seen of 300, it doesn't look as scene-by-scene based out of the comic. It has the feel of the comic, but like Sin City, like it's almost like they use the comic as their storyboard. Like angles and everything are the exact same. Where I saw some of the same shots from the book compared to the movie in 300, and they were both cartoony, but they weren't identical.
Okay.
But I can tell you that, like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, nobody would have thought that Frank Miller would be a Hollywood director now.
He's still not a Hollywood director, really.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though, like big budget.
Yeah, he's a player. Yeah.
Yeah. The first movie that he did, everyone might have thought that, well, he was really involved with it creatively, but it was still somebody else's movie. But this is, I mean, the only director listed is Frank Miller in this movie, right?
On 300?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Oh, I thought I thought it said
the director's name is Zack Snyder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But here's something interesting. Zack Snyder is signed on to direct The Watchmen for release in 2008 with Warner Brothers Pictures.
I like this incestuous comic book director community that we have. Like, the director of X-Men moved on to work on Superman and all this. It seems like once you get in on the comic book circuit of movies, that's kind of what you stick towards.
Yeah. That is kind of strange. I'm just, you know, colossally interested in a Watchmen movie.
It has so much potential.
Do you think it does?
I think so. I think loser superhero movies are always really fun, and it's a complete reinvention of the superhero thing. The only thing that's even close to it in terms of movies would be The Incredibles.
I'm thinking Mystery Men.
No.
It's not a similar plot or anything like that, but it's not any sort of conventional superhero movie.
Mystery Men was taking existing fictional characters and sort of reimagining them in some sort of like superhero kind of story. Like, what if comic books existed back then, and you know, how would the stories have been kind of different or something? Where Watchmen presupposes that superheroes have been in existence for a long time in reality, like in our own world, and due to a series of disasters have been banned by the U.S. Congress and the Senate and the President have all said that no more Caped Avengers, no more of this illegal crime fighting or whatever, and so the people for the most part either go underground and end up dead, you know, like killed in very realistic like situations, like a bank robbery or something, or they just turn into regular people and try to live their lives. and for some reason or another have to come back. To me, that's so similar to The Incredibles.
Yeah, it is. It's very similar to The Incredibles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's potential there to be to make it a good movie. I just don't see any potential to make it a successful movie.
I think it could be very similar to V for Vigilante. I mean, not just because it's the same writer, but I just think that they can kind of play in the same dramas and probably put in, you know, tons of social messages to make it relevant. But I think it could be as big as V for Vigilante.
Yeah, so, my friend brought up V for Vendetta too, I think V for Vendetta has a much broader appeal than The Watchmen would.
Well, I'm just curious to see how they try to if they try to reinvent the characters for the big screen, or if they try to keep it literal to the book. I'm not the biggest fan of keeping things word for word to the book.
Right.
But I'm just curious to see what they're going to do with it.
From what I understand, the latest script keeps it pretty much in the Cold War era and pretty true to the book.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it could go through another 3 revisions before they start filming. Whatever.
Well, I think that's the best time period for the movie to be in, because just that's when America was closest to that kind of George Orwell kind of, you know, 1982 kind of mentality, when we were closest to kind of like, you know, like blacklisting people and becoming very, I don't know.
Yeah,
The
sure.
country could have gone one way, and luckily it went another way.
Yeah.
So what else do we have to talk about here? We talked about the Luchador. We talked about all the movies that we'd seen, except for Running with Scissors, Augustine Burroughs' memoir.
Oh, did you see that?
So good.
I heard it was so bad. That's neat.
It's so good. It's so good. It's weird though, because it feels like you're watching tons of other movies. I don't know. It feels like you're watching a movie directed by the guy who did Magnolia, for instance, but it's not. And it feels like it was written by Wes Craven. But we were Wes Craven, I might, the guy who did Storytellers and Sister, like this guy did all sorts of dark movies, Dollhouse. Anyway, it feels like it was kind of assembled by a bunch of people, but I didn't recognize any of the directors or anything. And Augustine Burroughs was the writer of the movie, of the memoirs.
Of the memoir, yeah.
But it's also, for instance, very similar to Royal Tenenbaums. You know, you've got this kind of wealthy, eccentric family, and all the things that kind of happen to them. And I don't know, it feels the characters are so fascinating, and they're so lovable. They're not good. They're not good or bad. They're just characters.
All right. Well, I'll check that out. I watched Babel this weekend.
I've been wanting to see that.
It's really good. It's definitely good.
It's worth all the talk.
It is. It is worth all the talk. It's a lot of subtitles. I don't think you have a problem with that, but yeah, very, very good.
Who is the male lead in that?
Brad Pitt.
Apparently, Babel was his highest grossing film ever.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
How weird is that?
Yeah, I know how. Like with Ocean's 11 and stuff like that. I mean, that's the highest grossing film worldwide, and the rest of the world definitely accounts for a lot of movie or money when a movie is made, and it's just the rest of the world didn't see, you know, Brad Pitt's other movies because they're dumb. This one the entire world took an interest in, and
they're not all dumb though.
No, they're not.
Tyler Durden.
Right, Fight Club is a fantastic film.
Yeah, but you know, Ocean 11 and all that. Yeah, it's Ocean 13 coming out.
Oh God.
Okay, well, that's cool. We got to talk about lots of movies this time.
Well, I want to talk about one other thing, thestringsociety.com. Did you see this?
Yes, I did. I saw a post on MySpace from them.
How weird is this?
Let me pull up the site right now. Now, stringsociety.com, their main appeal, like it, to me what it seems like they're trying to go for is keep like an old look to yo-yoing, almost like yo-yoing is stuck in the 60s. That's what they talk about. That's what they kind of like, you know, like kind of giving it this wholesome image. But I don't really see the purpose for the site, considering that there are so many yo-yo websites out there right now.
Right, right. The String Society features a user-driven dynamic web content, forums, classified ads to sell your yo-yos, skill toys, and stuff, a yo-yo-related event calendar for all of our members, an area for yo-yoers to promote themselves for sponsorship, and a modders corner area specifically for mods. I just don't see the point of this, Doc. I don't get it. Like, there's lots of web communities. I mean, we talked about 5 web communities out there, you know, and I just don't get what these guys are trying to do.
Well, like I said, it seems like they have this mission out there. One of the things that they talk about frequently also is skill toys. Instead of saying yo-yos, they say, you know, for all aspects of skill toys and all that. However, I'm looking at their pictures, which are all, you know, a girl roller skating and yo-yoing, and then there's 3 yo-yos with a USB plug-in behind one of them. They have the Cold Fusion on the top right, has a LAN cable.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But you know, looking at the board, it's also seems to be. I mean, they do have a Diablo section, but it seems to be very yo-yo focused. They do also have apparently a shop, Doodad's Yo-Yo Shop, where pretty much all web forums, you know, are kind of attached to a store. That's just the two go hand in hand. So probably just somebody else started a shop and decided they needed a forum. They used. You pointed out that they used a kind of generic forum called
Joomla. Well, a content management system, Joomla, which is kind of neat. I think it works. I mean, I don't know how easy it was to set up, but it, I don't know, it looks all right. But yeah, it's just a free content management system that anybody can get at Joomla.com, and it's hosted for free at GoDaddy, so it's not like they're putting too much money into this so far. But I don't know.
Well, it's pretty easy to, you know, just be able to just get some content up, you know, and the yo-yos that they have, they might not even have in stock. They might drop ship them. So if you have the ability to start a site for very little, you know, be able to let it manage itself for the most part, then might as well go for it. Yeah. I don't do much management of my duck pop shop, you know, once or twice a day I'll get an order and I'll just, you know, ship them out. But for the most part, it's not really much. I just don't think that this site's going to go too much further than that. Maybe it'll help some new people get into yo-yoing, but probably they'll find the other sites first.
Yeah.
They do have a Sunset Trajectory for sale, which reminds me that I really want to get 2 Sunset Trajectories. Bill de Blah Blah had some subject trajectories that that Mr. Yodel had done for him, and Mr. Yodel had filled the O-rings with silicone, which seems really weird for a looping yo-yo, but they were phenomenal. Totally the best looping yo-yos I've ever played with.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before.
And the main appeal is just being able to adjust them, because my Raiders, which I like a lot, are at the point where one loops completely different than the other.
Yeah. Right. So I think that does it.
That does do it.
Yeah. This was a fantastic episode of the Yo-Yo Wiki podcast.
Yes, it was.
It's good to talk to you, Doc.
Good talking to you, baby.
All right, and we'll see you next week.